Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate.
Well, the news that came through a couple of days ago that John O'Shea is returning to training with boxers at Randwick was well received by everyone in the racing industry. Can't wait to see John O'Shea back training again. And he joins us this morning on Racing Pulse. Good morning, John. How are you going, mate?
Good morning, Michael. How are you, mate?
Oh, I'm very well. Are you a little bit disappointed after last night's start of Origin?
Yeah, it's not the ideal way, but all the lads, a bit of character, and probably means that Billy gets back there where he should have been in the first place.
Yeah, you don't leave any Victorians out. We're calling him a Victorian now. Mate, what have you been doing on your break?
I just probably spending a bit of time with family, mate, to be honest. You know, it's been a great opportunity to catch up and go to all the kids' sporting events, which I haven't really ever done, and I've actually really enjoyed it and will continue to do for the next couple of months, you know, so it's great.
It had almost been like sightings of Bigfoot following John O'Shea, where there were reports of you in New Zealand with Anthony Mithen at Rosemont at the sales. So people were wondering, when would you return back to racing? Was it always your intention to come back in the new season?
No, mate, not really. I was sort of really keen to have a bit of time at home, and but the reality is that, you know, boxes at Randwick are a rarity, and when the opportunity presented, that there were some boxes available, you know, I was really compelled to take them. Of course, the ATC wouldn't just wait for me when I was happy to come back. And, you know, I was grateful for the opportunity that they gave me to take on the boxes and get back training.
So how many boxes will you start with, and when are you likely to get back and start training full-time again?
Well, I haven't designated the stable as such. There's obviously an opportunity to take Leilani Lodge. But if they decided to give that to Anthony, well, then obviously there'd be a set of boxes there where Anthony was formerly training. So we'll just wait for the ATC and the Cummings family to work out what they want to do.
What size, ideally, would you like to be training?
I think, you know, to start off with 50 or 60 would be fine, and then we'll just work it from there, mate, and see as to, you know, how much support we get. But, you know, I'm very lucky. I've got a lot of long-term clients that are more than happy to send some horses. So we get started in August 1 and then, you know, just see how the cards fall.
We know what the rumour mill's like in racing. All the talk about why you decided to leave Godolphin, you didn't see eye to eye with Henry Plumtree, the pressure, you were pushed. Why did you decide to end that relationship?
Mate, I think it's just, the reality is I'll always be extremely grateful for the opportunity afforded me by Your Kindness Sheikh Mohammed, and I loved every minute of it in terms of, you know, the opportunity to work for those horses, great facilities and tremendous people that work there. But the reality is, Michael, I've got four kids. I've got a young daughter that, you know, has been a really nice school in Sydney called King Copple, and, you know, for the 3 years that I've been at Godolphin, I've never seen a play sport. And if I would have seen my contract out, I would never have seen a place. So, and she was just, you know, that was one scenario that, apart from all the other kids, and the reality is that, you know, since I've been away, I've been to every one of their matches every Saturday, and it's the first time I've ever done it, you know. So, and that time, I just made a decision that, you know, that time I can't get back when it suits me, you know, in 3 or 4 years, because I'll all be out of school and left home. So, you get that flexibility when you're your own boss. At no stage did Godolphin ever demand of me to be there, but I felt obligated because of the money that they were paying me as an employee that I had to be there. So, it's just a lifestyle choice, mate.
How consuming was it, John, and the pressure to be the head trainer of such a big organisation?
Absolutely no pressure, again, from Godolphin. The only pressure that I felt was pressure that I put on myself, mate. And, again, I felt a massive obligation to try and always perform to the best of my ability. And I'm a person that the reality is that nothing ever comes easy. And the only way I know how to do it is to do it, you know, hard and tough. And so consequently, I put in, you know, a lot of hours.
Can you give us an insight into that, John? Like, would you ever have any downtime? Did you take many days off?
Oh, no, I sort of have, you know, a week off in the middle of the year, and then probably a week off at the end of the year, you know? Mm.
Is it almost too big an operation for one person to run? Like, do you
No, not at all.
No?
No, I mean, and the fact that, you know, the two guys before me have been able to do it, and, you know, to be fair, when Johnny was there, it was significantly bigger. So it is sort of, I suppose there's a, probably the best, there is a limited number of people that probably want to make that sacrifice at this stage and can do the job. And they've definitely, you know, young James, I'm sure, will be more than capable of doing that job. He's an extremely talented young guy and a very intelligent young man. So I think that, mate, they'll be fine doing that too.
James, we spoke to him last week and he said he had a chat to you. Have you offered him any insight or any advice?
No, not really. I just sort of said to him, mate, the best way to go into it is to go there with an open mind and you'll work it out when you get there. Because I've got utmost faith in him and, yeah, he'll work it out. Well, there's probably... He's going into it a little different to what I did because, you know, a lot of the people that are, well, they're all still there, you know. And so Darren showed that, you know, it's a good system in place and you just got to keep the system flowing. And so with the people that are there and the senior people, James just slot in and they'll sort of work it out together as they go along.
Well, you had a successful time there. I know a lot of media pressure on you to perform when you were in the role, but more than... 10 group ones, I think it was in your time. Have you got a favourite moment, a favourite win?
Austin was very special. And, you know, Haraki winning the Epsom and, you know, Hartnell was, you know, to train a horse of that calibre any other year or any other era, he would have been the dominant weight for age horse in the country, but he just unfortunately continued to run into Winks, you know.
Your record would have looked a lot better without Winks.
Yeah.
Who was the best horse you put a saddle on for Godolphin?
The Stern.
Yeah. All right. Well, we look to the future now, John. And, well, we know you're a Group 1 performer before you joined Godolphin. What type of stable do you think you'll have to hit the ground running? Will you be ready to play a major part in spring? Have you got a number of horses?
I wouldn't think so, Michael. I mean, we won't get started till August. It's just a matter of sort of getting everyone in a nice rhythm and getting a good process in place. You know, ideally we'll have sufficient enough horses to keep James McDonald happy when he eventually gets back. So that's an important thing for me as well. You know, losing him was very hard on me personally, and what he went through was very hard. So, you know, I feel hopefully we can get back together and in the new year and pick up where we left off.
That's good. So James will be your number one man?
Well, if he wants the job, if he is. But I think that, you know, depending on what happens with his case, if he doesn't get back till May next year, I think he's got every intention of starting in Europe, which I think is a wonderful idea as well. Mm.
You're obviously in contact with him. How's he doing?
Mate, he's floating around Montenegro on a boat at the moment. But
sounds pretty good.
He's going well. He's very fit and, you know, he's in a very good headspace, which is important. You know... He's like a bull at the gate waiting to get back, as you could well imagine.
John, mate, I hope you enjoy the rest of your break. Can't wait to see you back training in your own right. Thanks for having a chat to us on Racing Pulse.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, Michael. Have a good day.
Got some other news coming through from the Sydney training ranks. Richard Friedman has just tweeted that he has secured stables at Rose Hill for his racing horses. Pre-trainers at Hawkesbury, best of both worlds, excited and looking for more owners. So there you go, Richard Friedman, some good news there as well. Great to have a chat to John O'Shea this morning. Open and honest and just a glimpse into the world and the pressures that trainers are under.